And I'll say this. I believe, I personally, and I want to try and show you this, I believe that it is God's will for every single person to be healed who is sick. I believe that. I do not believe in praying, oh Lord, just pray for my son here, and Lord, just heal him. Lord, if it's your will for him to be healed. Who's prayed those prayers? I'm waving my hand. I've prayed that sort of prayer. I've prayed that sort of prayer. I no longer do because I don't think it's true. If it's God's will, I believe it is always God's will to heal. Now, that raises a lot of issues. I'll cover a bit of that now, I hope, and I'll deal with it more next week. But it requires faith, but I believe that's God's, that's what God does. And God heals because, not because he wants to demonstrate and say, I've healed you, now you should come to me. He heals because it is his nature to heal. It's his character, it's his nature. There's no sort of underhanded, an evangelism. Sometimes you get the people who do things because they want you to respond to their message. There's none of that with the Lord when it comes to healing. He wants to heal us because he wants to heal us. End of story. Whether you respond to him or not, doesn't matter. He will still heal. Jesus healed people. Remember the 10 people that went off? He said, where are the other? One guy came back to give thanks. And he said, where's the other 10 who got healed? They were still healed. I'm sure Jesus knew they were all going to go. He heals because it is his nature, not because he's trying to manipulate us in any way to come to him. Understand that? Can I just kill that one for a start? He heals because he loves us and because it's nature. It's his nature. Let's back up. Garden of Eden. Right back. Going back in time. Passing the... Here we are in the Garden of Eden. Was there sickness in the Garden of Eden? No. Does that answer your question? Is there sickness in heaven? No. No sickness in heaven. No sickness in the Garden of Eden. What stuffed it up? Sin. You and I stuffed it up. It was never God's plan for us to have sickness. Sin wasn't God's plan. It was the risk he took for us because he wanted us to live in trust and love. Yes? And trust and love has to be a choice. Otherwise, it's not trust and it's not love. You may as well just have a robot, turn a machine on and make it work and fix it up when it goes wrong. But there's no trust and love in that. It's not mechanical. Trust and love requires a choice. That was the risk he took. He took the risk and he made it. It was so valuable to him that he was willing to take that risk. With all the pain, with all the tragedy and the terror that it has brought upon us human beings, God considered the end goal for me is worth the risk of my taking this with these people, with this creature that I've made. And this is one of the things we often don't appreciate. We don't appreciate how much that trust and love gift to us is as far as God's concerned. We treat it with contempt because we're so selfish about everything about us and don't realize that the Lord took a huge, huge risk with us. And on the other side of the coin, has taken a huge, huge risk with us to restore because he gave us his son. He's done everything possible short of one thing to draw us back to himself. Now, the fall brought, you all know what happened, we're in this thing, illness and sickness was as a result of our human condition. And some illnesses that we get, yes, are because we don't look after ourselves. Someone chain smokes, guess what they're likely to get? Lung cancer. We know that. God can heal that. Just imagine God healing cancer. Lung cancer, great. And someone just went back to smoking. That would be stupid. You know, we do get sick because we're dumb. Because we do dumb things. Or we don't have what it takes to be able to break those addictions. You hear what I'm saying? But sickness on the whole, in its root, is because we've listened to the devil. Because we listened to the devil, because we believed the lie of the devil, we have inherited the curse upon our lives. Sickness is part of our human condition. It was never God's will for us to be sick. Never, ever, 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 ever. it wasn't what he wanted for us, and he has the power to heal it. Now, wasn't in the garden, it's not in heaven. You know, there's this funny prayer that we were taught to pray, and one of the strange things about us being in charismatic and Pentecostal circles, and I noticed this, is that because I got saved in an Anglican church. I got saved in a charismatic Anglican church. It was an awesome church. Loved it. And one of the things we do is we worship. we have this book. It's called a liturgy. How many of you are familiar with Anglican things? All right. We have this liturgy. Now, I'm not knocking any of this. There's a place. We have this liturgy. And I've never been, you know, that high last time I was in an Anglican church. And this is sort of 20 years later. And the service, particularly for communion, is read from a book. Now, I got saved in this wonderful church, powerfully, powerfully saved. I think, have I shared my testimony with you guys? I have. Powerfully, powerfully saved. And within probably 6 weeks, I had memorized that thing off by heart. Absolutely memorized it. Because it was life to me. You know, I came from darkness into light. Those words were power and life to me. I made them my own. I can probably still remember bits of it now. Our Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is to, no, I'm quoting a scripture. What's that one that we say? I probably can't remember it now. Never mind, I've forgotten it. It's so long ago since I did it. But I used to know it all off by heart. And so by the end of 6 weeks, they'll give me the book and I'd just put it down and I'd be doing this, saying it with my eyes closed. And you know, I'd look around. Now, this, please don't hear me giving disrespect. Everyone else is still like this. These are born-again people, spirit-filled people, and they're still reading it like this. And I would go, I don't get that. Don't you know it by now? Don't you know it by heart? I do. I've only been here 6 weeks. And I'd be praying it. I'd make it mine. I'd be praying it. Now, I guess they were, I hope, but I just found it strange that they were reading, and I thought, is this the hold that traditionalism gets on us? And of course, we're in Pentecostal circles, and you know, we come out, we don't have anything to do with it. It's death, traditionalism, and all that kind of stuff. It's bondage, it's death, we don't do that. The danger sometimes is that we throw the baby out with the bathwater. And one of the things that we are not familiar with, I have found, and has hardly ever prayed, is one prayer, the one prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. The one prayer, you'd think we'd use it, wouldn't you? I hope this doesn't sound like, I just want to, can I say this? If it sounds arrogant, then tick me off later. One of the things, you know, I don't know if you've heard, been taught how to pray, you know, when I was a new Christian, they have this little thing. Who's heard of ACTS? A-C-T-S. You know, when you're a new Christian, you're taught, so when you pray, you do adoration, A, C, confession. So I can still remember it. T for Thanksgiving, as you've forgotten it, and S for supplication. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? But we do this. And I thought, you know, I just found it tedious. And I thought, there must be a better way when I'm stuck in my prayers for some way I can pray. And then dong, was like I was reading through Matthew, when you pray, pray that. I thought, this is a good idea. Why haven't I seen this before? Because we, you know, every Sunday and Sunday on church on Sunday morning in the Anglican Church, the Lord's Prayer is said. In the Catholic Church and other churches, the Lord's Prayer gets spoken. Familiarity breeding contempt, probably. And on the other thing, we don't want to touch that because it's religious. It's tradition. It's bondage. But it's the most important prayer. It's the one prayer we were taught. And when I'm stuck, I use that as my track to run on. You know, sometimes you get there and you're tired or you just, you know, feel like praying. But you know you've got to. So start with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven. What a great place to start. Just camp there for a while. Our Father in heaven. I'm his kid. I'm his favorite kid. No one's very excited by that. Fine. I am. And you are too. His favorite children. You're his favorite kids. You are. You know, I say that. I said, Daddy, thank you. I'm your favorite boy. Oh, well. So and then we go on, and it's worship. Holy is your name. You know, around the heaven is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy is the Lord. Well, there's half an hour taken up already in your prayer time, just starting on those two phrases. You follow what I mean? Powerful stuff. Then it goes on and says, your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you've heard this before, and I know we make a big deal of it. And I know at Bethel they make a big deal of it because out of the myriad of teaching, I'm hearing a guy start speaking. Our mandate is to release heaven on earth because Jesus taught us to pray it. If he taught us to pray it, so we should live. Your kingdom come. Where? Here on earth. Your will be done. Where? Here on earth. How? As it is in heaven. What's it supposed to look like? It's supposed to look like what it is in heaven. Or it's supposed to look like what it was in the garden. Where there was no, and just pertaining, this covers all sorts of things, but I just want to talk about the healing thing. There was no sickness in the garden. There is no sickness in heaven. Therefore, we do not tolerate it here. Because we are told to bring heaven to earth, to pray and to live. You know, if we're not living as we're praying, then we're confused people. You follow what I mean? We can't be praying one thing and heading our lives in a different direction. That's just going to bring confusion in our lives. As we pray, so we ought to live. That's the blueprint for how we live. We pursue his kingdom. The scripture says that. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's where it all comes from. The one prayer that we were taught to pray out of the whole of the New Testament, this one prayer Jesus taught us, if it's the one prayer he prayed, it's foundational to everything that we do. Your kingdom come. Why do we have to pray that? Well, because we stuffed it up in the first place. Are you tracking with me? In the garden, the original place, there was no sin, there was no sickness, there was no discord, there was no disharmony. None of that existed. Because of our fall, because of the fall of man, because of our sin, because of our rebellion, because of our unbelief, all this stuff came in. And Jesus saying, you guys have to restore it. See, we stuffed it up. It's not his responsibility to restore it. He gives us everything we need. He wants us to restore what we stuffed up. We broke it, we fix it. Yes? You with me? But he gives us everything we need. He says, when you pray, pray your kingdom come. Why? Because the kingdom was lost in the first place. What was there, he wants restored. What's in heaven, he wants brought to earth. You with me? You've heard this before. I hope in the way I'm sharing it. So, this was revolutionary for me back in 2002, 2003, probably. No, it would have been a bit later than that. Probably whatever. But it wasn't that long ago. Hearing someone say things, I thought, oh, I love this. It helped me get a handle on what this thing's all about. This is our mandate to pray, and healing is right in there. Now, the interesting thing is, who is Jesus? Jesus is the one who came to restore the kingdom. He came demonstrating the kingdom. He came carrying the kingdom. He is the king. If you're the king, you do the kingdom stuff. I'm the king, so here's my kingdom. You know what I mean? He was the king. It says in 1 John that the law came through Moses. The law came through a man, Moses. What was the point of the law? At the end of the day, the point of the whole of the Old Testament is to simply tell us one thing. You and I, trying to live contrary to the will of God, stuffs everything up. Can't be done. That's the whole point of the law. It's all it's there to teach us. You cannot live against God's purposes and have it all work out. Doesn't work. That's what the law does. But it says, but Jesus then came full of grace and truth. The law through Moses, but someone special had to come to reveal grace and truth. A superior revelation to the Old Testament. Old Testament's good revelation. Jesus is superior. Says in Hebrews chapter 1, it said he is the radiance of the supreme of God, the exact representation of his being. The exact representation of his nature. Colossians 1 says that he is the image of the invisible God. And he's not a photo. You know, you take a photo of something, and this is what it looks like. We went to this amazing place. This is what it looks like. Jesus is not a is more than a photo. He became a living person. He said, I am the Father. If you want to know what God is like, look at me. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He is the fullest revelation of who God is. It's the only way we can understand it. It was almost like if God was to become a human being, which is the only way we can really come to grips with. We can't see God. We can see it, we can feel him, we can know him in that respect, but we can't. It's hard to get your head around someone who's eternal. It's hard to get your head around someone who lives beyond the universe. You know, the universe is huge. It's hard to get our heads around that. But he comes to us, if you want to know what I'm like as a human being, if I become a human being, that's what I'd look like. Jesus is the exact representation of his being. The fullness of God dwelt in him in bodily form. So, and Bill says this, just to quote Bill, if you see it in Jesus, you'll see it in the Father. If you don't see it in Jesus, it's not in the Father. And Jesus was the bringer and the starter, or the means of a superior covenant. The Old Testament covenant was good. Jesus' covenant is superior. Hebrews talks about that the old covenant has been superseded by a better one. It's a superior covenant. The kingdom is a superior kingdom to this king, this worldly one that we live in. It's superior to it. It's better than, it's greater than. And this covenant and Jesus' covenant is better than the old covenant. Don't live in the old covenant, live in the new one. It is full of grace and truth. It is not law, not discounting the law, but the new covenant is grace and truth. If you try and live by the law, you'll never get anywhere. You'll live in condemnation the rest of your life. But grace and truth set us free. The truth is he loves us. The grace is that he washes us clean through the blood of Jesus. Amen? Now, he was the benchmark. He was the one who began to show us what it was to restore, to bring heaven to earth. And he says to us, okay, as the Father sent me, go for it, kids. You're on. Your turn. Your time now. Go and do what I did. And you're like, oh, are you, what? But you're the Son of God. Yeah, we can't do what you did. Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself. I think it's John 5. He needed to be filled with the Spirit of God before he could do anything. The Son can do nothing of himself. Nothing. He said that. I can't do miracles. I can't heal him. I can't preach. Can't do anything. The things that you see happening through here is the Father doing it through me. Yes? Same with you and I. Same thing. We can't do it. You and I can't heal people. You and I can't love people, really, without the Lord helping us in a way that honors the Lord and that honors the kingdom. He has to do us. That's why the Spirit of God is given to us, so that we have power to do kingdom stuff, to reveal the kingdom, to demonstrate the kingdom, to live in the kingdom, to even see the kingdom. Remember, Nicodemus came in John 3. It says, unless you have the Spirit of God, you cannot even see the kingdom. Without the Spirit of God, we're blind. You can't see the kingdom of God. You can't even enter the kingdom of God without the Spirit of God. So let's just quit trying and rely on the Spirit. Let's just quit striving to get there. It's a waste of time and energy. It's what faith's all about. Let's just receive the Spirit and say, God, I need your help desperately to live as you want me to live. His Spirit comes. We are just like Jesus. But Jesus was without sin. And so the Spirit was given to him without measure, so it says. Yes, he was without sin. He was the Son of God. No sin. The Spirit of God was like a unlimited access for the Spirit of God just to sweep through him. But do you know what? My Bible tells me that I'm completely forgiven. I am washed clean of all my sin. There is no barrier between me and God and the Spirit of God. There is no barrier. Because the blood of Jesus has covered everything. Another important thing for us to remember, There is not just one little wee piece of our life that's outside the fullness and the blessing and the power of the blood of Jesus to forgive, to restore, to renew. Nothing. It covers every eventuality in our lives. The blood of Jesus. So, while we were sinners, we are cleansed, forgiven, restored, so that there is now an open heaven before us. We can boldly, Ephesians chapter 3, Hebrews 4, it says we can boldly and with confidence walk straight into the throne room. Why? Because we're his kids. You know, my son's come home. My son gets sent back home from Ma and he comes and takes over my house. They go to the fridge and they look in the fridge and there's not much in the fridge, Mum, dear. You know what I mean? They just come in. Why? Because they're my kids. They just come in. We can boldly enter the throne room of God. Why? Because we're his kids through the blood of Jesus. We have full access to the fullness of the kingdom. Full access. It is all ours. Already done, dealt, signed, and delivered for us. Now, the difficulty is that's way out there and we're down here. And what we believe about those things is really important. I will pick up a few of those things next week. But I want to say this. Jesus demonstrated what living in the kingdom was like. Jesus demonstrated what carrying the kingdom was like. And again, this was something I'd never heard before until the last 4 or 5 years. Everyone who came to Jesus, everyone who came to Jesus was healed. Yes? Everyone. Every single person that came to him, and in fact, even those that he just stopped on the wayside and prayed for, got healed. Everyone. There is no record anywhere of anyone coming to him and leaving him not healed. None. If he is the fullest, if he is the exact representation of being, of his nature and character, if he is the fullest revelation of the nature and the heart of God, what does that tell us about God? He wants to heal everyone. Is that fair logic? Happy with that? I must confess, when I first heard that, I had to take a few steps backwards. I think, hang on. You know, who's got the whatabouts going on in their mind? Oh, you people don't. You're wonderful. I did. Yeah, but what about? Yeah, but what about? Because the mandate is now ours to demonstrate the kingdom in the same way. And I think it's very important. See, faith is the substance of things not seen, the assurance. I can never get this quote. You know, I practice this quote at home. And while I'm practicing, it's great. You know, I can say it. Well, and I come to do it in public, I'm like, oh, just stuffing this up. Chapter 11, Hebrews. Who can do the Hebrews 11 quote on anyone? Please, please. Go on, Di. Oh, yeah, that's fine. That looks good. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It is the assurance, the assurance I know for sure. Can't see it, but I know. I know because I know. It's the conviction. I'm conviction. This is true. You know, I can't see it yet. I believe that God heals everyone. Haven't seen it yet, but I believe it. And people say, that's daft. Yes, but it's faith. There's no room, common sense and faith do not go together. Just people say, oh, you've got to have a bit of common sense. Well, yeah, maybe in some things, I don't know. But you start talking areas of faith and there's no common sense in faith. There is no sensibleness in the kingdom of God. Faith requires us to step into areas that we cannot see. I believe that I am perfect, I am made whole, I walk in the fullness of God. Do I experience that? No, not always. I have days when I don't. I still believe that God loves me. I still believe I'm washed, cleansed in the blood of Jesus. I still believe that everything is said about my life is true, even though I'm not experiencing it. That is faith. I'm not a sinner anymore. Oh, but Ian, you sin. Well, I do stuff up sometimes, more often than I care to. I am not a sinner, though, because the Bible says for me to count myself as dead to sin. I believe what the Bible tells me to do. That's difficult. It takes faith to walk in that. It's easy to say, oh, I'm a sinner. Tell you, there's no faith in that. It doesn't require faith for me to make that statement at all. Don't know about you. Maybe you more pure than I am, and you know, you've got to believe I'm a sinner. I'm not experiencing it right now, but I'm a sinner. It takes me no faith whatsoever. It takes faith for me to believe I'm a saint, and Jesus sees me as a saint and treats me as a saint and speaks to me as his son, washed, clean, delivered, never a sinner. I'm dead to it. It's what I believe. It's the truth. Might not be my experience always. See the difference? I might be having a bit of a rough moment at the moment, but I'm still this person. When we pray for healing, we pray believing that God is going to heal this person. Because that's his will. It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom. Understand? Are you with me? I think this is important. I just think it's really important. Here's the second thing. Perhaps it should have been the first thing. One thing we have to, before I get involved in any healing situation, if my mind's not with it, I step back in my mind and I say, nothing is impossible for God. And I know because I know because I know I believe it. I think I've got that line in my heart so strongly, because I think every day I used to, for ages, I had up on my wall, "Our Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you." For years I had that up on my wall. For years I carried around and meditated on that scripture. "Our Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm." I know how big the heavens and the earth are. Well, I know what the scientists have bigger that much. He made it. Nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is impossible for God. And I have to get that and I have to stand on that, because sometimes people will come for healing and you're not in a good space, you know, your head's somewhere else and your heart's, you know, you've mucked up or you're angry at someone, or all those kind of things affect us. And I have to, sometimes I have to pull back and just stand on. I say, "Lord, I know nothing is impossible for you. I can't heal anyone. You can. Nothing's impossible for you. Nothing's," and I'll say it until it grips my heart. And then I'm in a place to begin to pray for people. Make sense? Nothing, it's important to know that. It's important to know also that it is not God's will for people to be sick, and God wants to heal them. All right? God wants to heal them. It is his nature to heal. But it's through us that he wants to do it, because he's called us to restore. And there's a process sometimes, and I'll deal with this next week. Nick, come back next week for the dealing of the session. Because there are issues involved. How do you deal with it? What's the story? Can I just say this one more last thing? Well, I hope this is, I have said one more last thing, and it's taken me 20 minutes to do that last thing, so my apologies. My mum, I became a Christian through my mother dying of cancer. She had been involved in a charismatic church, and that's where I got saved, because before I was a Christian, I think as I told you, I already believed in a creator who could do miracles. Because frankly, for me, when I looked around at Christians and other churches and got to go and visit churches, I won't go into all the history of all that, I was looking for the sign, I was looking for those things. I thought, if God's here, there's going to be stuff happening. Or if the creator, I didn't know him as God, but if the creator's here, then miracles, or whatever you call them, something supernatural must happen. It stands to reason. I already believed in miracles before I became a Christian. Already believed it. Not sure I was, even after that coming on, I was able to walk in them, but I believed it. I had a mental ascent up in here. If God's there, miracles must happen. Because he's God. You know, the being who created the universe and put the planets in their space must be able to do stuff. Or what sort of a wimpy God do people believe in? Follow what I mean? I knew that before I became a Christian. And it befuddled me that people didn't believe it. Christians didn't believe this. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Thankfully, not now. I mean, I was in this wonderful, charismatic church, and I heard about these people being healed. And they were telling me, and they said, oh, you know, and if you don't believe me, I said, I believe. I said, I'm a pharmacist. I know sickness. I know there's no possible cure for that. If you got out of your wheelchair and walked, that's impossible. Do you know what I mean? I knew, and I thought, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for. God's here, yes. Now, I had great people praying for my mum. She was sick with cancer. She was dying. She eventually died. She was not healed, which obviously grieved me. And I remember walking around one time and at home, well, mum's crook, and I decided to get angry at God. I didn't know whether you could or not. I just was angry at him. And I said, God, this sucks. or something along those lines. I said, where is the glory in this for you? You know, with my mum sick. Where is it, God? Where's the glory in this? And I was steaming. I was angry. I'm in, somewhere in the house. And all of a sudden, as I find this grief came upon me, poof, from some other realm, you know, and suddenly I'm feeling this deep grief. And I thought, this is not mine. I'm at the anger stage, you know. I haven't got into the grief bit yet. I'm angry. I'm really angry. Suddenly this grief overwhelmed me, and I'm staggering, and I'm thinking, Lord, you're grieving about this? You're grieving for my mother? You're grieving for this condition? I don't understand it, but you're grieving for this. Stunned me. It's the only answer I've ever had for why mum wasn't healed. I've asked him, he's not told me. I've sought after from people's, why wasn't this person healed? Don't know. Looked in the Bible for some reasons for sometimes people not. There are some, and we'll cover that next week. But it's a mystery, as I've heard recently, as my distant mentor tells us. It's a mystery. We just don't know. There's a gap between what we have, and there's a gap to where we ought to be. Jesus' experience was that every single person that came to him was healed. I've tasted of that. Remember I told you about Heidi last couple of weeks ago, Heidi Baker? You know, she prayed for a whole year for people to get, and just didn't see it. I mean, she probably prayed for one a week. I mean, she knows she prayed for lots. And eventually she saw one, and as I said to you, now when they go out, it's just automatic. Bring your blind people up. They know. They could probably say Mickey Mouse over the people, and they'd get healed because they know blind people are going to get healed, 100%. We had the joy of seeing that, not quite so the blind eyes. I wish I had that. But when we were in Vanuatu, one of the things that we noticed, that for every woman who came, and it was only mostly the women, came with knees that were puckered, probably because they're bending down. You know, it's rough being a lady over in these places. They've got to light fires. They're always bending down, so their knees and their backs must pack up real quick. But no matter what the age, every woman who came with knees that were in pain and in agony, every single one got healed. Everyone, not one person left, unless they were lying to us. Not one person left without being healed. Isn't that exciting? That was fun. That was really, really fun. We saw some great miracles. So I've tasted of that. Everyone, just to the point where we got saying, you know, just give me your knees. You know, it hasn't worked back in the West, and you know, in the advanced countries as much. But boy, there, everyone, there wasn't one lady who went away without. I can tell you some great miracles that happened there. There's reasons for that. There's the standard. Here's ours. What do we do? The biggest danger that we have, and I'll finish with this, having said that I'd finish before. So you go, yeah, right in, you know, okay, what's the time? Yeah. The biggest danger that we have when it doesn't work out like we think it should is that we make doctrines or we come up with the Bible say, well, we come up with another reason why it didn't happen. And the problem is that half the time they require no faith to believe it. It didn't happen, therefore. Now we just have to live with the fact that we just don't know. But we do know what the standard is. And we do know where we're heading. We do know we are supposed to be like Jesus on the earth. Or to carry out his mission on the earth. So we keep on going. And all I've got to say to us, folks, is let's keep going. John Wimber prayed for 200 people. They believed that God was going to heal. They believed the scriptures said God heals people. He prayed 200 people. And he would say, well, you having problems with healing people? He said, when you've prayed for 200 people and not seen anyone healed, come and talk to me. Because they had to pray, literally 200. They finally began to see a breakthrough. For those of you who don't know who John Wimber was, during the 80s, he then began. They had wonderful miracles happening in the church. He then began to take the whole thing out and he traveled around the world teaching people how to pray for sickness. Because teaching people how to pray for sickness, how to pray for illness, because he believed it was for every single one of us, not just for the hot chops at the front. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. The mandate is for every single one of us here is to pray for the sick and see them healed. It is our mandate. Doesn't mean necessarily we can't get a few other people around to help us pray. You know, that's fine. But that's our mandate. And our mandate is not only to experience here, but take it out in the streets. I've had great joy to be able to pray for people where I've worked in the pharmacist and pray. Didn't get too many customers, but people in the staff. Wonderful joy being able to pray for people. Not in church, see them healed. Didn't happen all the time, but it does. But I've seen it happen. That's our mandate. You with me? There's the goal. So what do we do? We don't come up with a doctrine. We do not feel guilty because it failed. I'll cover this next week. We just press on. Because the best way to see people get healed is to pray for them. We keep praying, keep praying. Like I said, John Wimber, 200 people. For some people, the first time, some people can go up and pray for someone, never pray for anything, and just pray for them, instantly healed. And you think, what's with that? I don't know. Happens. You and I are to be co-workers with the Lord. That's our task. We're to bring the kingdom. We're to partner with the Lord. We are co-workers with him. We pray, he heals. Heidi says, my job's to love people, his job to heal them. Right? That's our job. That's how we're partners. He wants to move. He wants to share this. He wants to be part. He wants to be with us and join with us because he wants to give it. It's our responsibility to do it. It's not his. It's ours. But he wants to join us. He's given us the power. He's given us everything we need for life and holiness and to get the job done. Everything we need. He's given it to us. But we have to take that step. You with me? And we keep on going. You just keep on going. It's difficult. The failures are difficult. I've seen too many. I lost both my parents to cancer. And I have seen God through just answer my prayers, laying on, and I've seen him heal people. And it irritates me deeply when people die like that. I think it's not right. It shouldn't happen. And I hope to stir up and say, I'm getting angry at this. I don't feel a failure because I've prayed and it hasn't happened. It just gets me. Mustn't happen. Any sickness that's wiping people out is not from the Lord. God does not give us sickness. Please, there's another one I want to kill there. Just throw that one in. It is never from the Lord. And you can come and talk to me about John 9 or 10 where it talks about, you know, this man was sick. I'm happy to discuss that scripture with you. God does not give us sickness. Because there was a doctrine that came out that said, oh, God's given you that sickness because he wants to do a redeeming work in your life and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All that kind of nonsense. I don't believe God gives sickness to us for that purpose. If we get sick, he may for a time use that to deal with a few issues in our lives. That's his prerogative. But he didn't give us the sickness in the first place. Never from God. You understand? With me, please, if that's what you believe, kill it. Just chuck that dumb thought out. It is no foundation in the scriptures. It's not in his nature. Therefore, it ought not to be in ours. We ought not to carry thoughts and attitudes about things that are not in his character and in his nature. It says in Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, pray, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases. This is God's will, this is God's heart, this is God's passion. And when we pray for people, we just keep going. We just keep going. Didn't get that one, we'll get the next one. Didn't get that one, we'll get the next one. And pray, every time, pray as if every time you've prayed for someone, you've seen them healed. Best way to is the first thing that fires up in your mind, in your heart, is God can do that. Hang on to that thought and go with it. Because the minute if you pull back and think you'll get every thought that comes under the sun as the why's not. If you get excited about the possibility of someone getting healed, if you get excited about the possibility of that, go with that thought. Amen? Amen. I'll stop. That was long. You all right?
I had a picture carrying on from what Ian was saying about taking a step. It's a long, thin road, and at the end of that road is the light. But when we take one step, that light doesn't take one step towards us or or stay where it is. It actually jumps a huge distance towards us. And when we take another step, it's not just another step towards us. The light comes rushing towards us. So we need to take a step and keep taking a step, because we don't get one or two steps closer. We're actually releasing the light to come a lot closer to us. It comes rushing to us, if that makes any sense.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we stand? Stretch our legs. Happy? Sorry, went a bit long, as always. Yeah, right. Yeah, we're used to this. Praise the Lord. Who needs a miracle right now? Put your hand up. Oh, my goodness, all of us. All right, it's just going to be a mass healing. Hallelujah. Right, let's lift your hands to the Lord. He's the healer. Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you, praise you. Hallelujah. Nothing's impossible for you. You taught us to pray. What's in heaven to be on earth? There is no sickness in heaven. There's no affliction in heaven. Therefore, we will not tolerate it here. We rebuke every affliction right now. Every sickness, we command to be gone. And we say, be healed. Affliction, be healed. Muscles and bones and aching bones, be healed in Jesus' name. Joints that are not functioning properly, be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.